This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, wow, this is going to be a fun day. I have in the studio with me an author that I just recently met, and her name is Connie Y. Harris. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Patsy. Nice to be here.
Okay, and after a little while, I'm going to get Stephen B. Allen on the phone. And the reason I wanted both of you today is this is the beginning of 2020, if you can believe it, my goodness. And I want to inspire people to follow their dream. I talk to a lot of writers groups, and so often, and also to just library groups, and so often people will come to me and say, oh, I want to write a book, I want to write a book. And I say, yeah, well, start. Now, one of the nice ways to start is to participate in NaNoWriMo, which is the November writing contest where you write a book in a month. I did that the other year because my goddaughter, Kanisha, did it. So it was sort of a challenge. And I said, well, Kanisha did it. I can do it. I'll try to do it. And I did, actually. And I had to do it, you know, because Thanksgiving is a busy time for me. So I didn't have 30 days in November. I had like about 24 and a half days before family started arriving from Michigan. And but I did 50,000 words in 24 and a half days.
That's incredible.
That was good.
That really is impressive.
That was good. And I am actually working on editing it right now. So it was fun. But of course, now you have been writing since you were little. You like to write?
Yes. I started out with poetry. I really like to write poetry, and I took creative writing in high school. So I really started young with joy of writing.
Well, that's a perfect word. And now, of course, the book that we're talking today, it's just being released, A Bounty on Forever?
Correct. It's the second book in the Forever series.
Okay. And it's about a subject that I just love. I was going to say men, but very special men, Navy SEALs.
Yes.
Wow. I love Navy SEALs. Every once in a while, I have some authors, you know, who are Navy SEALs, and they come in here, and you're like, okay, guys, it's so nice to see you.
Yes.
Tell us about this book.
All right. So I'll give you a little bit of background. I met a Navy SEAL about 17 years ago, and I was really impressed with how different he was.
Yeah.
And it turned out that he actually got me into the Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL training unit in Coronado. I think he told them I was his aunt, maybe. But he got me in, and I got a tour. I got to see all the young SEALs doing the different evolutions. I got to see the famous bell that they ring out when they can't make it through the training. And I was so inspired. I said, I have to tell these guys' story. I have to be realistic about who they are, but I have to tell their story. So that's how it started for me. And this particular book is based on a real SEAL that I'm friends with. It's about a guy who was a Navy SEAL and left the SEAL teams. He wanted to pursue his purpose of being a nurse. So he's currently a nurse out in Los Angeles. And the way they work it in California is you can take your corpsman training, your experience as a SEAL corpsman, you can transfer it into credits to go to nursing school. And so that's what my hero did. That's what the guy, the real life guy, did.
Huh.
And then it goes from there. He gets into trouble. His past comes back to haunt him, and he gets a bounty on his head. And they have assassins hunting him.
And that's the start of a very exciting story. Now tell us a little bit about him. His name is Frank.
Tony Franco is
Tony Franco.
Yeah,
I like
changed
that name.
The name to protect the not so innocent.
So Tony Franco is a Navy SEAL, and And you weave this very exciting story about the terrorists being after him.
Yes. He finds out that he's got a bounty on his head. Naval intelligence comes to the hospital where he works and informs him that there's a bounty on his head. And he's sort of blasé about it. He's like, well, okay, but I'm not a SEAL anymore. And he also has in the back of his mind that he's getting ready to go to Ocala, Florida, for his best friend's wedding, who's also a Navy SEAL and was the hero in my first book. So he figures, well, I'll just go to Florida first for the wedding, no harm done. And he goes, and he doesn't tell anybody that he's got a bounty on his head. Well, the assassins have already entered the U.S., and they're tracking him.
Ah. Okay, well, I would warn these assassins, don't follow a Navy SEAL into a big group of Navy SEALs, but it's...
Exactly.
It can turn into a wild, wild thing.
And the Navy SEALs, every encounter I've had, and I'm quite active in the Navy SEAL Foundation, which is a charitable organization to help the wives and children of fallen SEALs. It's a great organization, and I'm involved, and I go to a lot of their charitable events. And these guys are real brothers. Even the ones that didn't serve together, say an older SEAL that was maybe in Vietnam or some other battle, is still a brother with the young guys who just came back from Iraq. They really have a brotherhood.
Well, it's true. They are very, very special people. I mean, sometimes, you know, we hear them and we see a little bit in the movies, but they really are out there protecting us. And so it's the work that they do is unbelievable.
It is. And my most recent encounter was with a local Navy SEAL commander. I met him at one of the Navy SEAL fundraisers. He did 4 tours in Iraq and 2 in Afghanistan. He's the best and the brightest. This guy's a hostage negotiator, which gave me an idea for my next book.
that's a real writer. You're always looking for the next
that's
idea.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, of course, there's some romance, or there's some other things happening in the story.
There is, and you bring up one of my other loves, which is Zumba fitness.
That's what I was going to say.
And I've had a couple people sort of look at me sideways going, wait a minute, you have a Zumba instructor as your heroine? And I got to tell you, Zumba has it's just a wonderful group of people. It's given me a chance to really explore the Latina culture, which is warm and beautiful. And I've learned a salsa, bachata, but it's organically a very diverse group. There's old people, young people, fat people, skinny people, every race, and we all get along. We have the common love of music and dance. It's just so much fun while you burn calories. So I thought, you know what? I actually dedicated this book to my Zumba, to the Zumba community, because it's meant so much to me. It's such a positive thing. And I can be very stressed out, tired from whatever, and I can go to a Zumba class and I come out just sort of feeling zingy. Like I'm just, woo, you know. So I dedicated this particular book to the Zumba community, and I'm really proud to be a part of that community.
Well, that's wonderful, because Rita Moreau, who does our book buzzes here, a little promos for authors, she's a Zumba instructor.
Yes, and she recently friended me on Facebook when she saw my promo of the book, and I was really happy to become friends with her.
And she's anxious. She's going to come into the studio, I think, maybe next week, and she's going to do a promo for this book.
Oh, great.
Yes, she will, because she just loves to do it. And, of course, now, you know, being a Zumba sister, you know, it'll be really a lot of fun for her. But it's just, she's always so enthusiastic, too, about Zumba and about what it does for people. And, she's always writing, and she needs that break and that energy to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, I did my dedication to them, and I also, if I could read it,
yes,
just it's
please.
Very short.
Go ahead.
But my dedication says, one of the most important jobs in the military is a parachute rigger, the person who packs your parachute. You depend on that individual for a safe landing every time you jump. This book is dedicated to the Zumba community and all the talented instructors who inspire and uplift me on a daily basis. They pack my parachute. So that's sort of how I feel about it. I've combined two of the things that I love the most, Navy SEALs and Zumba, into one book.
Well, I think it's wonderful. It's a great idea, and I'm sure that they will all appreciate it a lot. You know, it's.
I hope so. It's just, it's so much fun, and also going to these SEAL fundraisers is a lot of fun. They're great guys. And they're quiet warriors. You could meet one in the grocery store. You'd never know that they were Navy SEAL. They're not all the beefcake guys that you think they are.
Although some are.
Some are, definitely that. I've met a few of those, too. But they're just nice guys. They call me ma'am.
I know. That's funny. But they are great. And they are, really, we are so lucky to have these men who are so dedicated, and I'm always so grateful when I have the opportunity to help promote, and so you belong to this organization that helps the wives and family.
Yeah, they do quite a bit, and they're rated very highly in the Charitable Navigator. I think it's a company that rates organizations. They've got very high ratings. Most of the money they raise goes back to the women and children. And they do things like offer scholarships to the children, housing, jobs, whatever they need. And it's just wonderful because sometimes these guys, I mean, it's sudden. The death is sudden.
Yeah.
So the Navy SEAL Foundation just moves right in and helps them.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, I think the book is fascinating. As I said, Rita Moreau will come in and do a promo for it, and we'll help promote it because we want to help both authors and Navy SEALs. And I know that the more that people know about them, the more they're willing to give. And so that's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm going to talk in a few minutes to Stephen B. Allen about his book. Now, he's, as I said, the purpose of today's show is really to encourage all of you out there. If you are dreaming about writing, or if you started to write and then stopped writing, today I want you to be inspired by my guests. Connie Harris decided to write, and she picked a subject that really is unusual for a woman, about Navy SEALs, and she did it, and she's getting to be very successful with it, and I think it's going to be just a wonderful series. And now I want to talk to Stephen B. Allen because he also found this joy of writing. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, how are you?
Okay. You're in Tennessee?
Yes, ma'am. Middle Tennessee, kind of little bit up from Nashville.
Okay, well, my son went to Vanderbilt there for his undergraduate, so we love that area.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yesterday we actually even had snow flurries.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, I was really, I have in the studio with me Connie Harris, and she's a romance writer, and you, of course, are fantasy, but the whole purpose of this program today is to encourage people to write. And to start writing, it's the beginning of the year, and I keep telling everyone, well, start now. Even if you do a page a day at the end of the year, you have a book, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you certainly found the joy of writing the new book. Well, the book that I have, I'm holding it up to the camera because we're here on YouTube, and it's called "The Road to Nowhere Leads Everywhere," and I like that title. And it's Tales from the Land of Arlington Green. So tell us a little bit about your background, how you came out with this idea. It's a fast. I've always loved fantasy. I'm a big fan of Leigh Bardugo and so many other fantasy writers. So I was wondering, you know, where did you get this idea?
Actually, it started in a totally different vein. I began it back in 2007. It was going to be a children's book, a book to help kids with having problems with math. is going to be a 10-chapter book, each one dealing with a different math problem, such as, you know, first one subtraction, second one addition. And it was going to be called Tales from the Castle of Numbers, because I figured I'd do it from an interesting point of, you know, back in the Middle Ages. Well, the more I wrote and the more I worked on it, the more the characters kept on expanding to the point where pretty soon I knew that I wouldn't be able to control them, so to speak, within the confines of a small children's book. So I changed it over. Characters became different names. And I just started almost kind of being told by the characters about their lives. It was kind of weird. It was like I didn't even have to really concentrate on what to create. They were helping me do it. I know that doesn't sound...
No, it sounds absolutely normal to me. Isn't it, Connie? Yes. Say hi to Connie here, because she's listening. She is a former teacher, so yes, she can appreciate the idea of a book to help kids with math.
Yes, I was an English teacher because I wasn't very good in math, because I didn't have the benefit of your book.
Well, you know, as I said, it's fascinating, the entire idea of it. And then when you you write here about being a teller of tales, yes. and tell us about Dylan and how you developed him, because I unfortunately in today's world, a teller of tales, people might think we're talking about a politician, but let's talk about Dylan.
I like that. Well, back in Middle Ages, especially on the countryside, they didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, things to do as far as entertainment goes. So when a traveling troupe of singers or dancers, or in this case, a teller of tales would come through, the whole village would congregate because that was something very exciting. And Dylan is a young guy who's always had this dream of being able to take his creativity and give it to the people, get an opportunity for them to enjoy the stories he comes up with. So finally, he just decides to throw caution to the wind and goes and follows his dream. The only problem with that is he has no idea what he's doing or where he's going.
Okay, so that happens to many of us. But so tell us, where does he start off and what's happening with him?
Well, he begins with very simple things that he learns, such as you can't go across a pond in spring that has a little bit of ice on it trying to get to a barn to get out of the rain.
Uh-huh.
Things like don't walk in the road in the dark, because it's inevitable you're going to step into something that the horse you saw ahead of you is going to lose. Yeah, really important things like that. But eventually he gets to the point where major things begin to influence him. He goes into a town that has some major problems as far as one side is for one thing, one side is for the other. They do not communicate. I have no idea where I got this idea from, not present day, of course. But he tries to intervene with that and creates one heck of a mess. He makes all of these mistakes, but he learns from them. He's a smart fellow. He just isn't too bright at times. And eventually his wandering leads him to the place called Arlington Green, where he ends up giving up his days of wandering. And it's pretty much where fate has decreed that he should be to become the person who has been prophesized is going to be capable of wondrous deeds to behold, but also things that are, well, let's just say, not in his character.
Well, you have a great sense of humor, and it comes through in the books. I don't know if you, when you were planning the math book, it was certainly a great idea. As a homeschool mom, I loved anything that would help the kids learn math. So I thought it was a delightful way that you started off. But this is exactly what happens. Sometimes when you start something, when you start writing, isn't it true, Connie? You start writing, the characters do take over.
Yes. I'll have a general idea, and then once I start writing, the characters sort of develop right in front of my eyes.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and you hold on, okay? Please, Stephen, hold on. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about the love of writing and some ideas for helping people get started, okay?
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money? Earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest on the phone, Stephen B. Allen. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
Okay, and in the studio here with me, Connie Harris.
Hi.
Okay. You know, one of the things that I really found fascinating about you, Stephen, is that you started writing, and you went through the same process as so many authors do of once you sort of, you went like wild. You just kept writing. As you said, the characters, and this happens with, I think, all great writers. They take over your the story. They have a possession. It's almost like a possession of you, and it's so exciting. But you found it difficult to get a publisher, right?
Yes, I did. I originally tried to do it before I was ready, to be honest with you. If I took the stories that I have now, the books that I have now for the very first time and approached agents or whatnot, I think I would be very successful, and I'm still trying. But whenever I first approached them, the books were not ready. They weren't anywhere near finished, and I got some interest, but I think I also closed some doors, and that was probably a mistake on my part.
But, and you were going to give up?
I'll be honest with you. There were several times that I had thought about it. That lasted all of about maybe 2 weeks.
And then it comes back. You can't, once you find this joy on paper, you really can't give it up. And I agree with you. I think that your writing is excellent.
Thank you.
And you've done a great job. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to get through to traditional publishers, but you never know. Because I had an author here who was on, she sold 347 books, self-published. Not a lot of books. But she, one of the things, and this is something I recommend to people, try to win contests. She won a contest. And it just happened, although there wasn't a publishing deal as part of the contest, one of the person who, you know, was judging the contest happened to be an agent in New York City. And those are the kind of contests you want to enter. Any contest where you have real, really good, you know, it's not a contest where it's just anybody, you know, but you have somebody with a list of judges who are really important, either if, you know, from New York City agents or editors. And this agent just said, you know, I like it, and gave her a deal. They republished it with beautiful, beautiful cover, beautiful, I mean, imprinted, amazing. And it became a bestseller. So this can happen. You don't have to, you know, give up all your dreams. Sometimes you do want to, you know, you have the stories and you want to get them out there. And, of course, part of the thing is now you have to do your own promotion, right?
Right. And that's where I'm a little, not as good. I'm okay as a writer, but to be able to say, hey, look what I've done and all that, that's not really my strong suit. I kind of wait for other people to say, hey, I really like your book, instead of me going up to him and saying, hey, you know, here's a really great book for you to like.
Yeah, well, see, that's part of the problem with authors. Authors love to write. They have all these characters in their head. I can tell you, Charlotte Bronte, if she had to go out there and promote her books, would not have done a great job, because she was like the worst dinner guest you could have. People would invite her after Jane Eyre came out. They'd invite her over. Everybody wanted to meet her. Everybody thought, well, she's going to be so fascinating. But all the things were happening in her head, and she couldn't get it out, you know, in person. So it is a challenge. And now, Connie, for you, you have a traditional publisher, but you're still responsible for a lot of your social media.
That's true. In today's publishing world, I think it's a mistake to leave all the promotion to a publisher, even though I have an excellent publisher. But what I did is went out and hired a person who's an expert with authors to help me with social media. And, you know, I did it last time, and it was very successful to me to get on. She put me on blog tours, social media, that kind of thing. And as a result, I got great reviews. And that's another thing that will sell your books, is getting great reviews.
So, yeah, you do have to. Well, it's like I tell people, if you open a cupcake bakery, you have to do a lot of other things besides have great recipes and bake those cupcakes. Yeah, there's a lot of the business side, and it is difficult. Are you doing social media?
I am. I have a blog on one of the websites there. I've actually taken it a little different. I'm trying to make a series of videos which are a little different, kind of unique, but just to give people an idea of who I am and what the books can entail. I've almost created a persona for those. You know, one of the things I try and point out to anybody anytime that I talk about it is, you know, if you want to be a writer, don't ever quit, because you're producing something that has never been done in the entire history of the world. Nobody has been able to write your book. You know, the greatest writers in the world, the smartest brains in the world. But you're unique. Your talent is individual. And don't ever quit, because you never know what's going to happen or when.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah. That's a great advice, because that's exactly it. You don't know, and you don't know where it leads. And meanwhile, you're having so much fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, can I add something here?
Please.
One of the most successful things I did was join a writers group. We have a local group here, Tampa Area Romance Authors, and I joined that group, and I started learning the craft of writing, and it really gave me camaraderie to help me through the tough times. One of the first things I did with my first manuscript was I entered a contest, and my critique partner had said, oh, you're going to win this. This is excellent. It's so great, and I did not do well. And I almost quit. And then she said, no, let's sit down. Let's find out what the judges didn't like about your book. And we'll only take what both judges didn't like. And we did, and we made like a diagram of it. And those are the things I focused on and concentrated on to improve about my writing. And so when I finally did submit a manuscript to a publisher, it was purchased on the first go-round. But I'd done a lot of homework. And improving my craft and that kind of thing. But writing is very solitary, and I recommend to writers, so that they don't quit, to join a group, be in a critique group, be in a writer's group, meet other writers, hang out with them, go write with them for a day at Starbucks or wherever. And that can keep you going through the tough times where, you know, you've been rejected by an agent or a publisher, or you just can't think of anything, or you're having a hard time maybe in your personal life, you don't want to write anymore. Those people will keep you going. And that's something I think is really important for writers.
It is. It is. Now, in book promoting, one of the things, if you find groups and organizations that are interested in the same type of book that you're writing. And in your case, Stephen, you should have a lot of people who are interested in the Middle Ages. There are a lot of different organizations with people who just love anything to do with the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm. They have a Renaissance fair up here every May. And everyone gets dressed up in the period pieces, and they have jousts and tournaments and, you know, different things where you can purchase things. And I was thinking that maybe I would try and go ahead and set up there and see if I could get people interested in the books. Or, you know, I love the idea about the writers group. That sounds absolutely excellent. And I will check on that probably as soon as I get off the phone with you wonderful folks.
Okay, well, no, exactly. It is a wonderful way to start and get ideas, because you want to get more ideas. And when you're, as I said, in your case, I right away thought of Renaissance fairs. And, whatever it is, if you make a connection, and once you get really good at social media, you direct your tweets or Facebook postings to these groups, because there are groups, for example, who just they love anything to do with swords. I mean, they buy anything that relates to swords, and so the same thing with Middle Ages. You have all sorts of different openings there, and that's a wonderful way to build your audience. And the important thing is, do both of you have nice email lists? Do you have email lists?
I have started an email list for a newsletter, yes.
Yes. And what about you, Stephen?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because from what I've talked to so many authors, having a good email list is, I mean, if you're talking like 5,000, 10,000 names, it really helps.
And you can get those names by putting a function on your website, or when I have book signings, I have a guest book and have them sign up at the guest book. That's another good
thing. That's a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah. Now, excellent.
Yeah, and Stephen, if you go to these some of these events, this is a wonderful way to meet people who are interested in the Middle Ages. I love the Middle Ages. I think it's a fascinating period of time. And so I think that you will find, this camaraderie among the people who love this subject. And you write so beautifully. Really, I wanted to mention, you write this in first person. And tell us a little, I want to go back to the book, because just tell us why the characters are, you have a sort of a different twist on characters.
I did. Originally, I kind of, I did it in the traditional way of, me telling the story. And then I thought about it, and it's like, well, if this gentleman is a teller of tales, and the things that are happening about him, why shouldn't we see it from his perspective? So I changed it over, and I think that it gives us a better idea of who the character is, because we understand what he's seeing, what he's experiencing, whenever anything strange or wonderful happens with him. It gives it a whole different idea. We're not looking at what's happening. We're almost part of it. It transforms the whole entire situation to where the reader is now in that world, They're not sitting on the couch reading a book. They're into the world that Dylan is experiencing. They're into the world of the Middle Ages. And it makes it much more enjoyable to read, I feel. Difficult to put down. And
Well, I like Arlington Green. I think it's a... even just the name, it's a kind of name that you will remember, which is very important in a book. And tell us about some of the people in Arlington Green.
Well, first off, you've got the Duke and the Duchess. They're not the traditional nobles of the period. They're a little more enlightened. They don't take their subjects and basically run them into the dirt. They treat them with respect, which is kind of unique and different for the period. And that attracts Dylan to the point where, well, he's telling one of his tales, the Duke happens to hear him, and decides to hire him as a tutor for his son. We get to meet who becomes a good friend of Dylan, a man by the name of Bryce Willis, who is the stable master. And there's a gentleman who is a knight, Sir Preston. He's a little bit different. He's in his mid-50s, which is kind of old for a knight. And he has a tendency to do things like trip over his sword or, he's kind of bumbling and stumbling, but till you think about the fact that he's in his mid-50s and he's still a knight. And there's other younger knights trying to take him down and nobody's been able to. So there's a little bit more to him than meets the eye.
Well, I think it's a fascinating story and a fascinating group of people that have jumped into your head. And,
well, there's plenty of room up there, so it's not difficult.
And I do want to compliment you on the production value of the book. It's really nice. I love the format. I also love the titles of the chapters. I like the all manner of foolishness and lessons learned from a desk, and everything is very clever, and I like it very much. You've done a really great job with it.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciated that. It sounds very nice.
You've done really for an indie published book. It's really top quality, absolutely top quality. Beautifully edited, beautifully laid out, and something that anybody, I'm sure, will really enjoy reading. And I hope that we'll have you back. I want to go. I only had a chance to read this book, but I'm going to read the rest. And then I'd like to have you back one day, and we'll talk about it in terms of how you might want to. I'm glad that you're already doing the videos, because I think the entire series will be something fascinating for maybe somebody to pick up for a series. So on streaming video is actually what this book was made for.
Thank you very much. I would love to come back anytime.
Okay. Well, Stephen B. Allen, how can people, this book is available. It's called The Road to Nowhere Leads Everywhere. It's available on Amazon. And you have Twitter, Facebook. How do you like people to contact you?
The easiest way would probably be, I do have the website, rightandwrongone.com. Where I have my blogger, they can get through to me. They also, I have rightandwrongone@gmail.com if they wish to send me an email. And also I'm on Facebook.
Okay. Well, I will get back to you, and we'll have you back on Joy on Paper soon, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And it was nice to meet you folks, and stay
nice
warm.
To meet you,
I know you
Stephen.
Will in Florida.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have 40 degrees tonight.
Yeah.
So a little little surprising for us.
Yes.
And it was so funny. Connie comes in here. She's got a big fur coat. We're having a few days of our just a hint of winter for us. Anyway, you keep warm too, and it was great talking to you, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye, Stephen.
Bye. Isn't it fun to get to know writers?
Yes, I really enjoyed
something
that.
Something interesting. You know, from the idea of starting off with the idea of writing a simple book for kids about math,
right.
All of these characters just came into his head. A part of it, and when he comes back next time, we'll talk about why the Middle Ages, and probably it's because he is himself a big reader, and he has read a lot, and that's one of the things that writers have to do. They have to read.
Yes, that's really important. And I was going to mention to him, maybe I'll contact him on Facebook.
Yeah, that'd be
become
nice.
Friends, doing the hashtags for like #medieval, #TheWitcher.
Exactly.
It's a series on Netflix that I just watched. And that'll help him, you know, contact the right audience.
Well, that'd be wonderful if you did that, because this is one of the things that, as you've learned, now you can do #NavySeals.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
I was going to say, I bet you do. And because the more that you do, you never know, you know, what will hit. 4 years ago, I met a romance author who, just by sort of happenstance, she was at a book signing, a big one in a ballroom, and a woman comes up to her and says, you know, could I have a selfie with you? And so she, of course, you know, takes a selfie, and she didn't understand. I think the lady said something, and she didn't quite understand. It was a busy conference. And it happened to be the woman was a colonel in the army, who was just visiting from Afghanistan. She had come, you know, she was on like her third tour. She went back to Afghanistan and told all of her and shared on Twitter the photo with the romance author.
Wow!
And in a week. Half the women in the army were buying this book, and I mean, it was shocking, and you know, just suddenly, you know, thousands and thousands of, you know, because in Afghanistan we have a lot of women stationed at that time.
Yeah.
It was also Iraq, so we had a lot of women stationed overseas, and you know, what do they do when they're downtown? They read,
right.
You know? So suddenly she has all these Kindle sales that she, like, what happened? You're like, almost like, was it a mistake? Like did Kindle decide to get generous here and, you know, give me lots of money? So
that reminds me of a similar type of story is when I met this Navy SEAL commander recently. He said, what do you do? And I said, I write military romance. And he went, there is no such thing. And I laughed, and he said, well, do you have one of your love books? Because I'd like to read it and give it to some of my friends. So he called it a love book, my romance. Anyway, I got him a book, and hopefully he's reading it.
Well, hopefully he's reading it. And, well, you know, I don't know if it matters if you go higher up, but, that you know, when a colonel sends out a thing saying, I love this author, a lot of people start buying it. And that's, you know, that's isn't it that exciting?
Yes, it is. It's very exciting. And I do have, I've had on my first book, I had a couple of Navy wives email me and contact me through my website and thank me because in my first book, the hero comes home, he gets sent home with PTSD. And I go into some of the difficulties that military families have in the first book. And a couple of them emailed me.
And the name of the first book is?
Is Forever in Ocala. It's a forever series, so every title
has
forever
in it.
It's Forever in Ocala, and they thanked me for actually talking about a subject like that in fiction. And making people aware of how difficult military families have it sometimes.
Yeah, well, it is true that so often a book of fiction, you know, can open people's eyes. You know, and start having that human connection of understanding what somebody's gone through. To Kill a Mockingbird is a good example.
Yes.
What happens? A subject that can just change the world.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
So and open people's eyes, and so that you wrote about PTSD. I have another author who's done quite a bit of work on that too, and so it's just an important subject and one that if the more people know, the more willing they're. Also to understand when they meet people who might have it.
Exactly.
And just see a way to just treat people a little bit differently if you can understand it. Because if you haven't been around military people or you haven't been around anyone who has PTSD, you don't understand.
Right. That's correct. And sometimes it's difficult for them, like 4th of July, fireworks, large crowds, movie theaters. It's hard, you know, it's hard to even go into those places.
So, yeah, it's a wonderful service that you're doing. And at the same time, you're just having fun.
I am having fun. I'll never stop writing. I may never become Nora Roberts, but that's okay. I love writing and I love having a message in my books. Whether it's about PTSD or the first book, the heroine was an equine veterinarian. And my daughter is an equine veterinarian in Orlando. And I dedicated that book to all the females that go into large animal medicine because for many, many, many years it was very male dominated. And she made it through. She made it through all of that training and absolutely loves her job. But that was sort of my message also in the first book was that women can do these things. Women can go achieve success in careers that have been largely male-dominated for a long time.
So it's inspirational. And do you enjoy book signings? Is it some?
I do. I'm a little bit of an introvert, so I have to sort of push myself out there. But once I get going and I'm talking to people and it's fun and maybe we're drinking a little wine.
Oh, yeah.
Then I really like it. Then it's fun.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you have, of course, this book is available on Amazon.
It is. The release day is tomorrow, but you can pre-order it in Kindle or paperback. And the first book's actually also an audiobook.
Ah.
So a lot of people like audiobooks. That's available in audio.
I've developed a real passion for audio.
Yeah, and
I'm really pleased
with the guy that was the narrator that the publisher hired. He did a great job. In fact, he's a professor of speech at University of Oklahoma. So I lucked out on that one.
Okay, well, the book is called
A Bounty on Forever. And I have a website, ConnieYHarris.com, www.ConnieYHarris.com. And my email, all the buy links are on that website.
Yeah, and Facebook. You're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook, yes.
Yeah, that's important. So people can contact you and friend Connie, and she'll friend you. And if you need inspiration, have a look at both Connie's book, Connie Y. Harris, because there are many.
There are two, more than one Connie Harris.
I know. And, of course, Stephen B. Allen. We need to always nowadays, because there are so many authors with the same name. It's funny. But you just watch out for it and get involved. If you want to write, send them a Facebook message and start following them and be inspired by them, because they've done terrific work and you can do it too. It's, as I said, that's why I wanted this here, right here in January. It's sometimes you say, well, what am I going to do? Well, 2020 is a sort of a remarkable year. It's a year you can say, well, in 2020 I became a writer.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and just start. Just sit down with your computer. Even when I started, I did it by hand.
Yeah.
On a notepad. I just started writing. Don't worry about editing it. Just write it.
Exactly. Margaret George wrote Henry VIII, 836 pages, by hand. Okay? So if she could do it, you can write it. You don't want to write it. You can't get a 836-page book published anymore.
No.
But in those days, she could. So, but she wrote it all by hand.
Yeah.
And, in those days, the publisher would actually take it and type it for you. So,
that's right.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore. But you have a really, I think you've got a really nice little series here. It's fun, and it's also inspirational. So I want to thank you so much, Connie, for coming in today.
Thank you for having
me,
Patsy.
It's been fun.
It has.
And I love seeing your coat. YouTube. It's a Tibetan coat.
I'm calling it my Tibetan coat.
That's right. It is. It's beautiful. And we don't need it many days here in Florida. I want to say especially to my son, hello, because he sent me a text last night, like at midnight, and he said, Mommy, it's so cold here in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. The first year he was there, he discovered snow was heavy. So a special hug, warm hug to him. I wish I could give him one in person.
And it's National Hug Day, I think, today.
Oh,
so
is it?
Wow.
Well, every day is a National Hug Day
For mommy,
I love this kid so much. He's so amazing. And so I just want to say a special hello to him. And again, Connie, thank you so much for being here on Joy on Paper today. It's been a joy to meet you, a joy to talk to you. And make sure, everyone, listen, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a streaming video, a major motion picture, or maybe a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. And meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And bye-bye now.